Today's reading is from Galatians 2, 15 through 21. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentiles sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. This is the word of the Lord.
My name is Josh, and I'll be preaching here today. I did want to read something, because today is a unique time for the life of our church congregation. 12 years ago today, August 3rd, 2013, Grace Church in North Liberty established Grace Church Downtown Campus. 10 years later, in August of 2023, Pastor Jason Blackley announced that Grace Church's Downtown Campus would move towards becoming an independent church. A little while later, in June of 2024, Pastor Jason stepped away from his role as lead pastor for this congregation and took on a different role up at the North Liberty congregation there. For the past 13 months, to be exact, this congregation has continued on without a full-time pastor. The Lord has moved through a lot of effort of Bo and others, many of you, to be the church for 13 months without a lead pastor. It can be done. Praise be to God. So let's round of applause. And so here we are now today, August 3rd, 2025. We have a new lead pastor. I don't know what I'm going to do. Y'all have been doing it. No. There's plenty of work to be done here as we embark on the next leg of our journey as a community of faith. Now, this part of our journey is a bit different than all others before it. We're in a place to carry on the vision for Grace Downtown and moving towards becoming an autonomous church. And so I would anticipate you have many questions. I anticipate over the next couple of months I'm going to hear many of these questions. I'm going to guess that many of these questions all fall under the same umbrella question of, so what are we going to do now? And I'm glad you asked, because I've been asking this question as well. As I've pored over scripture and resisted marketing schemes, I think that really what we do next is the same thing church has done since the beginning of church. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at practices and rhythms that any God-glorifying church does. So here are some of the things that we're going to look at. Today, we'll be looking at this idea of Christ-centeredness, a Christ-dependent way of life. Dependent on Jesus Christ and guided by the Bible, Scripture, we will commit ourselves to responsive prayer, to loving fellowship, to gathered worship, and to everyday evangelism. I've added a bunch of extra words there. The core of those are, we're going to commit ourselves and focus on Christ, Scripture, prayer, fellowship, worship, evangelism. And that's what we're going to do. And so I wanted to take the next several weeks to really talk through a little bit. Some of this might be just a reminder course on just what the church does. Some of you, this might be a new thing. Some of you may have seen other expressions of whatever we'll be talking about, and you'll say, wait, this is a little bit different than what I've been hearing. The entire goal is that it's bound by Scripture, will be in Scripture. And so we are committed that this Word of God is so much better than any man-made scheme. And so we just want to do that. Let's embark here on our first consideration as we go to the idea of Christ at the center. I would encourage you, as we get into Galatians here, we've read it already. I would encourage you to be in Galatians 2, verses 15 through 21, whether that's on your paper Bible or whether it's a digital Bible of some sort. It's always good to see the words. Those words are going to be infinitely better than any other word I strap to it. So be in the word there. However, even though I maybe directed you to Bibles on your phones, I have no slides for you today. So good luck on that. All right, so I want to sound pretty erudite and say that, you know, there's a New York Times best-selling author, Robert Ludlum. He wrote a series of books, the Bourne series. In one of his books, The Bourne Identity, and Sound That Way. I'm just going to start off here by throwing myself under the bus that I've never read that book. But I watched the movie, and I'm going to read a quote from the back of the DVD case. Found with two bullets in his back, Jason Bourne discovers he has the skills of a very dangerous man and no memory of his violent past. Racing to unlock the secret of his own identity, he discovers the deadly truth. He is an elite government agent, a $30 million weapon the government no longer trusts. Now, this top operative is the government's number one target. In this supercharged, thrill-a-minute spectacular loaded with non-stop action. So it sounds really good. We're going to watch it now. It's so good. No, we're not. I feel like at the core, this story, whether we like these thrill-a-minute spectacular movies loaded with non-stop action, whether we like these kind of movies or not, there's something in this story that resonates with all of us. It's this idea that maybe, unlike Jason Bourne, we actually find ourselves just born into a story. We over decades of our life are trying to understand a few key things here. What is my identity? This is his quest, right? This is our quest. Who am I in this story? Another thing that this touches on is this idea of belonging. Where do I belong in this story? For him, it's really intense. Why are these guys all shooting at me? Why do I have things, microfilm, sewed into my body, which is really weird. You're going to love watching this movie or reading the book. Another question then you have is who am I and how do I belong in this story? Then what's my purpose? What's my role in this story? Now, we didn't just wake up and get fished out of, you know, some water here, and that's how the story begins for us. We're born and we grow and we learn, but we still ask these same questions. I think this is the fundamental experience of humanity. We need identity. We long to belong. We long for purpose. And oftentimes we try to create these answers. And we do these internally. We try and figure out who we are and then spend most of our lives trying to express that to those people around us. And we do this through our careers, through education, through family, through friends, networks, hobbies. We just take those all the way up to this extreme of this is my identity, and therefore I know how I fit, or I tell people where I should fit, and then I know what my purpose is to fit. But that story could be nice and compelling and give some meaning, but it's not founded on the real data that's there for us in creation. If we look around at creation, we can see it's been around a lot longer than you or I have lived. We were born into a story bigger than us. Even if we think about, you know, just the trajectories we may take, we find that our identity is not something, ultimately our deepest identity is not something that we can create. We really find that when we look at the evidence, we are in fact part of a story that we did not write. That there is a deeper story. There's a story that goes farther and broader than all other stories that mankind has told to make sense of the world around him. And this is the story that we just sang about. This is a story we're going to talk about. This is the story that's been revealed to us in the Bible. It is a redemptive story. And at the center of this redemptive story is the Son of God, Jesus, who is the Christ. And he is the center of the story of all of time. He is the story of the whole counsel of God. And therefore, he should be the center of the story of every day of our life. And that is a main point which Paul, the apostle, church planter, writer of the book of Galatians, is making here in the passage we have today. So I've got maybe 4 points to go through. The first one is going to be this, the main point is going to be that Jesus is the one who gives us that true and lasting identity and belonging and purpose. The first point is you can't find your identity without Christ. This is verses 15 and 16. We'll read them again. It's been a couple minutes. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. See, as I mentioned, Apostle Paul, what we have here is he wrote this book of Galatians. We call it a book when it's in the Bible. It actually was a letter written to Galatia, which is a region, not a city, but a region, and kind of around the area of modern-day Turkey. And he's writing to these Christians that are here to warn them against a legalistic understanding of the gospel. You see, they'd taken the gospel that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has fulfilled, you know, the scriptures has fulfilled the law, but then they're like going back and adding law to it and therefore making it not the gospel. Specifically addressed in this letter is the outward sign of circumcision. And this was a physical reminder to the Jewish people of their covenant, or at least the covenant that God had made with Abraham, and therefore then the Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews would then do this sign. And while it was meaningful, Christ had come, it was no longer necessary. This is something that's talked about in the Bible. But it had become a religious identity marker for some. And this religious identity marker is being pushed almost to a competing level, if not more, than it is through faith that you are saved. There is a legalism attached to it. So if you weren't born a Jew, this is kind of how it would work. You could do this thing and then be identified as Jewish enough to belong. So what does that mean for us? That's them then. What's us now? Different details for them, but it's not so different principles for us now. We do very similar things to this right now. You can be saved through faith in Jesus. Also, read the Bible the way I do. Study and pray. Sing the songs that I like. We do this oftentimes. Have your church organized in the way that I find it to be most helpful. We add more than just that core of the gospel. This is why here at Grace Church Downtown, we will make Christ the center, is because this is the guide, lest we waver into our own personal preference and opinion. Galatians 2:15, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Paul's point, what he's making, is that whatever a person's circumstance or status in life, they were born Jewish or Gentile, that doesn't really matter as much as their status before God. Status in life is not as important as a status before God. That is a key gospel principle. While there is a faith community in which some are born, the confirmation of saving faith is for the individual to work out. What I mean by that is that you may have been born into a family that is Christians, your parents, or one of your parents might be a Christian. You might have some friends that are Christians. You might be coming because of that. You maybe have a family that has been dedicated to church attendance. Those things don't make you Christian. Those status markers there don't make you Christian. What matters is that faith that is in Christ. Paul will say over in Romans 3, he'll say many things in the book of Romans. Romans 3, 22 and 23, give that great gospel equalizer, for there is no distinction between people, he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you, me, that's everyone who has ever existed and will ever exist. All fall short of the glory of God. So if we're looking for an identity, the gospel starts with these two identities. One, we're all human. That's one thing that's there. That's all the way back in Genesis, image bearers of God. But what we get here is that we are all also sinners. That's kind of a bummer way to start, but the best way to start, because this story of redemption takes off. How do we get to God? How do we get made right? None of your status in life, Jew or Gentile, is not going to make you right with God. You're still sinners. He says, kind of facetiously, Gentile sinners. As though they're saying, we're the Jews, we're not the sinners. Well, they totally are. Go read more of Paul. He's going to rail on them for their sins. He knows that they're sinners. We might think that we here are Christians and they out there are sinners. We're all sinners. We just said that together as we made those declarations. So what do we do? How do we get to this idea of justification? This idea of justification, that's a big church word. The word justification basically means is to be declared righteous before God. If all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we need to be made right with God. We need that belonging again with God. We need a new identity, not just being a sinner. Justification is being declared righteous before God, to be in right standing with God, to be in right relationship with God. But if it's not our status that can do anything, then how do we get there? Well, let's go to this next this section here. Our belonging has something to speak to our identity. So I'm going to skip over and hit how the belonging with Christ helps us in understanding our true identity. How are we justified? This is the way in which we try and go. With our fleshly ways, we try to become justified ourselves. But, as the passage here says, a person is not justified by works of the law. What are works of the law? The works of the law for them were the 613 laws of Scripture that they had to follow, the hedge of rules and regulations that the religious leaders put around them. They believe in something but have to tiptoe all along to make sure that they are good enough. For us today, these show up in our convictions and preferences of interaction with culture, the way we organize church, the way we do our faith. If we do it this way, this laws and regulations, they're pointing out what holiness is and how to live a righteous life. But as our passage here says, the law will only expose more of how we have sinned. It's almost a transactional trying to level up. It's almost, I would say, a spiritual credit score that we try to do enough to raise that, so that then at that point we'll be approved and we can go forward with God. Our belonging has little to do with outward appearances. Everything to do with our status before God. This is something that was a helpful truth for me when I was a middle schooler. I think middle schoolers need so much of the gospel. And we all do too. But in middle school, I tried to live this principle out. I tried to be accepted and approved. When I took that meager, you know, allowance I got for my fall clothing budget, and my school, which was like the food stamp school, merged with the two schools with doctors and lawyer kids. And then I used all of that money on two t-shirts and two pairs of shorts. There are more days in a week than that. It was weird. It didn't work. I was not assimilated in by the works I had done. I was just exposed by trying, and they saw, you don't belong. We cannot work ourselves there. We cannot raise that score. By works, we are not justified. And so how does this work? This is just a rehearsal of the gospel, a good thing for us to do. Galatians 2:16 says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but here it is, through faith in Jesus Christ. It is through faith in Jesus Christ that we have believed. And what is it that we are believing? We are believing in the person of Jesus Christ, that he is real. that he came and was sent from God, and all the things we know of him, but also we believe in his accomplished work. We sang about this, in his death and resurrection, and that it actually did something. It wasn't just a character, a good teacher in time, that then died and was resurrected, and there's something weird about this guy that's different than all other prophets of other religions. There is something that speaks to our identity and our belonging. There are many other things I could say, and I could go verse by verse through this. I want to really get to this point because it sings so very well. A recap, we are sinners who can do nothing to be declared right before God. Jason Bourne, trying to figure out what we are. We've got no faculties here to understand this unless we have Jesus Christ. And that is the point that we're drawing out in this passage here today. We find our identity and we find our belonging in Jesus Christ. We find our belonging in Jesus Christ because of a thing called our union with Christ. I want you to look at this passage here and see how many times it says, it's a very subtle thing, it says with him or in him. This idea of with him or in him is not talking about just the object of faith. You know, I believe in, and then fill in the blank. And so now you know what I'm believing in. It's not the object of the faith. He is the actual essence of the faith is what it's drawing out there. He is all that encompasses our faith. He is the fulfillment of all that is our faith. He actually comes to live in us and be with us. When we believe in Jesus Christ and his accomplished work, it is part of that thing that is his indwelling in us, that union with Christ. Believers are united with Christ so that the results of his death and resurrection are transferred to us as though they were our own death and our own resurrection. This is the essential core of the Christian faith. We are united to Christ in death and resurrection. That's where we get to this magnificent verse that I encourage you, if you memorize the Bible, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Right there. My death for my sins actually took place. Not that God pretended when Jesus died that Josh's sins are forgiven and that's him. Actually bound together. I don't know how this works. It's an incredible mystery. But this union in Christ, my sin actually paid for on the cross. His righteousness actually mine. I have been crucified with him as though we were one. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me as though we are one. This gives an incredible understanding to our identity. A magnificent understanding of our belonging. Do I belong? Yes. So much so that it overlaps. Christ is in me. The life I live for Christ. Romans 6:5 will say this. I could go through a million verses on this. Probably not a million. Maybe a dozen really great ones. It would take a lot of time. Romans 6:5. For if we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. 2 Corinthians 15:17 takes us to another area of belonging, which then leads us towards purpose. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So not only are we sinners, but now our identity as Christians who believe in the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ, we are forgiven sinners. That's a really wonderful thing to think of yourself as, a forgiven sinner. It keeps you humble to let you know that you haven't become perfect, but also reminds you of the love and the grace and the mercy of God who forgives those who believe. And when we believe, there are many other identities that the Bible describes us as. Jesus describes this process, this regeneration that happens in John 3 as a birthing into a new family where God is our Father. I mean, this is a reason why you're going to hear me say often, brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ, because of our union in Christ, we are now brothers and sisters for real through the work of Christ. We have been born into a new thing. This is hope for any of you who have not met your own standards of what you would call success. There is hope there. Anyone who has maybe regret in their life of things that they have done. The gospel provides this kind of story and hope like no other thing could. You could tell yourself you're good enough. You could tell yourself you have come about these things. You could write a story of how you were the victim of the whole thing, and now it's just a playing out of those things, those trajectories and relationships. Or you could lean into the story that's above everything and below everything and through everything, through faith and the unconditional love of God. You are forgiven. You're a child of God. And then we can go towards the purpose that we have. The purpose we have comes here in verses 20 and 21, specifically verse 20. The life you live is not by the works of law, but through Christ. You see, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to get a little bit nerdy on this and pull apart this whole verse here. What is the point? I live life because of Christ. And we ask the question, what's the reason for that? Why? Why do I live life because of Christ? There are two answers to this. The first reason is because Jesus loves me. How do I know that Jesus loves me? Well, he tells us, but also he shows us. He gave himself for us. I mean, it's right there in this verse. I'm just pulling the words apart in this passage. I live life because of Christ, because he loves me. So out of an obedience, out of a gratitude, I live because of Christ. But also, the answer is, why do I live because of Christ? Because Christ lives in me. Through that union, I now live. How is this done? Why is this done? It's by the grace of God, the verse says. By the faith that we have in the Son of God. This is the part where church plays such a helpful role in the individual's life. A lot of times, we as Christians believe that the gospel is just the starting point, is this conversion, that the idea of justification is the big thing. That we are sinners, Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. If you believe this and you say the sinner's prayer, gospel done. I've heard a pastor say it this way, which is a much better picture. He says the gospel is not the diving board into the pool. It's not just the start, it is the pool itself. This is where many of us in church swim daily. Jesus is this pool. The gospel reality, we sit in this. We, as Jeff Vandersell says, we are saturated by Jesus Christ as we swim in the pool every day. We get wrinkly with Christ. This is the life of the church. This is why we have small groups. This is why we meet together and fellowship together. This is why we check in on each other. Is to soak in Christ together. And when we soak in Christ, that's a weird abstract term. What are we doing? We're learning the words and the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, anyone who believes in me, follow me, be my disciple. The word behind disciple there is learner. We are learning Christ. That's what we as Christians do. We're not simply just making more Christians. That's a good thing, an expression, an invitation that we want people to come and join into the pool party that is Christ. But also, we are learning Christ. We are learning that when we get angry, there's a Christ-like way to respond. That in decisions in life, between this job and that job, there could be an opportunity of the gospel that leans more. And we need to think about that with Christ. Even as I was driving here today, I found myself on I-80, realizing that I was pretty nervous as the new lead pastor of just like, what's going to happen today? I feel like if something goes wrong, everyone's going to look at me to fix it. And I was like, wait a second, this is ridiculous. Christ will run this church, and there may be a thing that happens or not. I'm probably the most awkward thing that will happen this morning on the stage. And I realized that even as I'm going to preach this, I need to submit myself to Christ. Christ is the point and the pattern of the redemptive plan. Christ is the point and the pattern of all of Scripture. Christ is the point and pattern of every moment of our lives. And we as Christians here at Grace Downtown will focus on helping each other keep that at the center. If we don't have Christ, His word and His way at the center, we will become unbalanced in a way that could lead us to a trajectory we don't want to go. So who are we? What is our identity? We are forgiven sinners. How do we belong in this story? Where do we belong? We are dearly beloved. We are unconditionally loved by God. We are learning Christ together. And then what is our purpose? Our purpose is to live out with gratitude, with love, with obedience, with faith, with repentance, with humility, with joy. That which Christ has done for us and that which Christ has taught us to do for others. That is the center. The next several weeks, we'll talk about the implications of that in areas of prayer, of fellowship, of worship, and of evangelism. Jesus is the one who gives us true and lasting meaning to our identity, our belonging, and our purpose. And so I encourage you to seek Jesus today. Let's pray. God, we thank you that in your wisdom, in your holiness, in your sovereign plan, you have desired that we know who you are. And by doing so, we know who we are. That we understand that in your plan, there is a place for belonging. And that even through faith, when we do belong, that there is still a purpose for us to continue on in that faith. I pray that each one of us be convicted of how we might be trying to answer our own questions and find our own answers, find our own righteousness, become good enough. I pray that you just give us the ease, the release of our own pride to just let go and cling to you. That we might ask you for forgiveness of sins and that we might live out of gratitude and obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to continue on here, leading us to an understanding of what we're about to do here. There was a slide that we had earlier, and I took a picture of it real fast, violating my own Luddite tendencies. We said, empty us of lesser things so that we may be filled with the fullness of Christ himself. And so I will dismiss us here with a benediction, but we are all going to participate in this benediction. We did a wonderful affirmation of faith, a declaration here. Could you pull up those slides again for me? We are going to do this together. Having sat in his word, we even have more renewed vigor for saying these together. I'm going to be the leader this time. Sorry, thank you. You did a great job. You're not getting bumped. I just was so excited. I was like, let's do it again. All right, so I'm going to say it, two slides here, and then I will send us here with a benediction. We declare with joy and trust, Christ is risen. We declare with joy and trust, Christ has conquered sin and death. We declare with joy and trust, Christ has called us out of darkness into his kingdom of light. We declare with joy and trust, Christ is King of all creation. We declare with joy and trust, Christ is our risen Lord is coming again. We declare with joy and trust, the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And the last verse of the letter to the Galatians I send with you today, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Go in peace.